Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn did something very interesting as he came into the studio, Wendy. I'm sure you noticed this also. He sauntered in, and then he said, "What did you think of my entrance?" I've never had anyone do that before, Eric, but that was a great way to start it all off, to come in that way.
I'm trying to work on my presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, just being on the radio with you guys is not enough. I feel like I have to come into the studio.
Are you going to experiment with new entrances every week, or is that a one-time thing?
No, I think I'm going to try a bunch of different ones. I like maybe a pirouette coming in would be nice.
That would get our attention.
And I'm thinking about like a flash, a smoke bomb, a little flash
that
bomb.
I would like.
And it would destroy you, and then you'd look up and I'd be sitting here.
Now you know you'd need to hire a kid to come in and do the smoke bomb.
It would be totally worth it.
Hey, there's a kid right there in a man's body.
I'll do it.
I'd work on the kid's entrance.
All right.
Or maybe I could just hire you to do it and you could see everyone outside.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. A name change for a Chicago landmark. The Museum of Science and Industry is changing their name, and I know you want to talk about this.
Well, it's really interesting. Yeah, this news broke on Thursday, I think it was, which was Ken Griffin, who is, I think, the richest guy in Illinois, according to the last measurements. He gave $125 million to the Museum of Science and Industry, which is down, you know, right by the University of Chicago.
Was it contingent on them changing their name to his name, or did they say, you know, he's been so generous, we should do him something nice?
I'm guessing that this was probably part of the conversation.
Yeah.
If you were given all that money, Bill, wouldn't you want that in return?
Yeah. It's funny, I don't really actually know how some of these overtures go. Does the institution come to the person and say, you know, we could really use some extra money? And if you do that, we'll name the museum. Or if the person comes and says, nice museum you got here. What would it cost me?
I wonder if their prices are structured.
How much for your museum?
Do they structure the prices where they say, this is what it would cost to have your whole name on it, this is what it would cost to just have part of your name on it?
Your initials, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, I know that Ken Griffin, the same guy, gave some money to the field museum, but not enough to take the field name off.
Oh.
He gave enough money for them to name the dinosaur exhibit after him.
Oh, that's good.
One of the dinosaur exhibits. So, it was really an amazing act of generosity. I don't have a huge problem with it. Museum of Science and Industry is not one of those
roll off the tongue.
Unforgettable, colorful names that you just like, oh, I just love that. The way it's interesting to me that the Cubs have never renamed Wrigley Field, even though the Wrigley family has nothing to do with it anymore.
Right.
It's like a free ad for their chewing gum every
There'd
time.
There'd be a huge backlash.
But the question is, do you think about Wrigley chewing gum when you hear Wrigley Field?
I don't.
No.
I know the history, but it doesn't present itself right away whenever I say Wrigley
Field.
You
don't think, I got to go buy myself some, what is it, Double Mint? Is it?
Yeah.
That's Wrigley's, right?
Yeah.
Wrigley Spearmint Gum, Gum. Sorry. And Juicy Fruit and Big Red.
I think we're doing their work for them right now.
Yeah. But so many people, I think, because that's been so iconic for so long, is that they don't even associate it. I bet most people or a lot of people wouldn't even know that that was the same Wrigley. That it was just,
I think it's probably true.
Right?
Yeah, and of course, the thing is, there was some pushback, quite a bit of pushback in Chicago when the White Sox renamed Comiskey Park, which had been Comiskey Park forever, right? They named that, they named, what was it? The first one was U.S. Cellular
Field. U.S. Cellular Field.
And did
and
it go right?
Guaranteed Rate.
Did it go right to Guaranteed Rate? Was it just?
I think so.
I thought there was another one.
An interim sponsor.
Oh, was there?
And people were saying that they would never say that, and I hear people talk about Sox Park a lot.
Yes.
I don't hear people say Comiskey Park much anymore. I think that really is...
It's too far removed already?
It's been about 20 years now.
It's
been 10 years since the Willis Tower became the Willis Tower.
Never once called it that.
See, Wendy's...
It takes some doing for
Wendy
me to think about
old
it.
Old school. So yes. I've come to think of it as Willis Tower. I don't... It doesn't come up a lot in conversation, but that's how I think
but
of it.
But if you were going there and you got into a cab, wouldn't your first inclination be to say Sears Tower?
I don't know. At this point, you know, there were people who were out protesting about the change from Marshall Fields to Macy's.
Yeah, but that was more than just a name change. That was an ownership change.
You could certainly understand why Macy wouldn't want to. You would want their brand name on it.
Yeah,
there is one name change that I have stoutly refused to adjust to, and that's the renaming of the golf course up along the lakefront that was called Waveland.
Beautiful nine-hole course up there,
Irving Park.
Yeah,
and
what did they change it to?
Changed to William R. Merovitz, named after a park district official.
Yeah,
so it's officially the Merovitz Golf Course.
Do you even golf there?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you just refused to say it, but yet you don't go there.
Oh no, I don't go there a lot, but I do, you know,
because of the name.
But once a season, it's a nice little course actually. And I just it's been 20, 25 years, I think, since they renamed it. I just sort of casually, in conversation with friends, like, let's go play Waveland. No one likes to say Merovitz, although...
Now, here's one...
He does.
Yeah.
The Merovitz family
enjoys saying it. Here's one that's a little trickier, and that is the Oriental Theater changing its name.
Just recently, all these years.
Isn't it, what is they change the first, the bank, some Bank of America Theater or something like that?
I can't remember who got the naming rights on it, but to some people, that name is offensive.
Yeah,
it's James M. Niederlander Theater.
Oh, it's Niederlander, right.
Right.
Okay. And there's also the Oriental Institute in Chicago, too.
Yes.
I don't know if that name, that term is outmoded.
It's outdated.
But then there's the NAACP, right?
Right.
And they're sort of, United Negro College Fund.
Right.
People that have these throwback names I think people just gloss over.
But, yeah.
But one of the things that's interesting to me is there was a lot of fuss online about this change for the Museum of Science and Industry. They were like, I'll never call it that. And it's possible that people won't, because technically, I guess, the name's going to be like the Ken Griffin Museum of Science and Industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how dare...
Kenneth C. Griffin Museum of Science and Industry.
Kenneth C. Griffin, right.
Who cares?
Well,
not for him. I'm not saying against him.
Well... It's an interesting point, although, you know, the truth is that we do have museums in town that are named for people, and certainly one is the Field Museum.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Marshall Field was, a paleontologist.
Right. Something,
just a rich guy.
Yeah, who paid for a bunch of stuff.
The museum.
Right.
Does anyone know, and this gets to a point that I mean, does anyone know who the Adler Planetarium is named for?
Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses.
Is it Charles Adler? Is that his name?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Both of you are wrong.
No?
We'll bring in some new contestants. It was founded in 1930 by Chicago business leader Max Adler.
Oh.
The Shedd Aquarium? Any guesses for the
John
Shedd?
John G. Shedd.
John G. Shedd. But good. I don't know who he is.
Who was he?
He was a businessman who liked to swim.
He did wear Speedos. Doesn't say that here, but I think we can safely assume that. He's a protege of Marshall Fields. He's a wealthy guy. And then, of course, there's the Peggy Notobart Museum, which is named for the... Peggy Notobart is the wife of now Quest Communications Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Richard Notobart.
Is she still with us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think she is. I think this is... If she's not, then we can do a whole apology.
Because when we were kids, people who had their names on stuff had died long ago, it seemed.
Right.
You're right, Bill, but I think now's a different time.
Now's a different time, and I think that can be sort of risky. And I've called for a moratorium, the Hall of Fame rule in baseball, where they give you you have to be retired. I think baseball is 5 years.
Yes.
You can't just, because they worry that there's going to be some sort of burst of sentiment. Remember, like, Thurman Munson was killed
on
a plane crash?
And, yeah.
And people are like, let's put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, let's wait.
Gotta wait 5 years.
Let's wait 5 years to see whether this is just, sentiment speaking, or whether he actually belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's a really wise thing. I think it'd be good for a politician to be retired for 5 years. I brought this up when they renamed Stroger Hospital for
John Stroger.
I thought, just wait a little bit to see what his legacy is.
Let's say there's an entrepreneur who realizes that there's some museum that can only survive with an influx of money, and look, I'm rich, I've got that money, I'll give it to you.
Well, I would make an exception for rich people doing it, actually, because rich people are actually just buying their name to put on the thing. So,
right.
I wish I was rich.
The Snyder.
You could be the Wendy far Snyder off, Wendy. Everything.
What would be in the Snyder Museum?
Oh, that I don't know, but I would just buy a property, and it would be the Wendy Snyder Museum,
mm-hmm.
The Wendy Snyder Taco Bell,
mm-hmm. that start
the
with
Wendy
that.
Wendy Snyder fountain.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Yep. All right. We'll take a quick break. With the fountain of water or beer, what would come out of it?
I'd have to think about
All right, more with Eric Zorn just moments away. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He made quite an entrance, but CLTV doesn't carry us, Eric, so nobody will see it but us.
Oh, man.
Very sad. An interesting story with the owner of the Houston Rockets in a tweet he made.
The general manager of the Houston Rockets.
Daryl Morey.
General manager of the Houston Rockets, and is one of the most popular U.S. basketball teams in China.
Yeah.
Because Yao Ming used to play for them, if you know your NBA history.
He was the center for them for years.
And he, Hall of Fame, actually. And, anyway, Daryl Morey, he just tweeted out an image that read, on Friday night, I think it was, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." You know, just standing with the Hong Kong protesters, and you've been following that story where the streets of Hong Kong are filled with protesters
who are
fighting for democracy, some open elections, and so on. And this created an amazing storm in China, that they were really mad about this. And China is a big source of income for the NBA now. It's really popular over
there. For merchandising?
Merchandising. They have viewers. They stream the games over there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a really big deal. The NBA is really vested in China and vice versa. And the Chinese government responded. They were infuriated by this. And so Morey, the guy from the Houston Rockets, deleted the tweet right away, and then he wrote this cringeworthy apology, saying, "I did not intend my tweet to cause any offense to Rockets fans and friends of mine in China. I was merely voicing one thought based on one interpretation of one complicated event." Do you like my voice? My
imitation?
Very effective.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
Oh, that was your voice? I didn't know that.
"I have a lot of opportunity since that tweet to hear and consider other perspectives. I've always appreciated the significant support of our Chinese fans and sponsors, and I would hope that those who are upset will know that offending or misunderstanding them was not my intention. My tweets are my own. They in no way represent the Rockets of the NBA."
So, and what's behind that apology? Does the NBA come to him and say this isn't good?
Yes, it's actions that the Chinese government have taken, and what have they done? The sportswear maker, they suspended their cooperation with the Rockets. The television streamers have said they'll stop broadcasting the games over there. You search for Rockets gear on Chinese e-commerce sites, for Alibaba and those places, they don't get any results anymore. And so this is China flexing its muscle over there. And the interesting thing about this is this has provoked one of the rare times where Democrats and Republicans seem to agree about this. This is just cowardly, this cowardly wheedling from this guy on the Rockets.
Yeah.
And the NBA in general, which is skinning back. Ted Cruz tweeted out that the NBA is shamefully retreating, said he was proud to see the original comment. And Beto O'Rourke, the former Democratic, the presidential candidate, former Democratic congressman from Texas, called the apology an embarrassment. And then Julian Castro said the U.S. can't allow American citizens to be bullied by an authoritarian government. We're better than this. Human rights shouldn't be for sale, and the NBA shouldn't be assisting Chinese communist censorship. So it's this dramatic confrontation. You got to remember, the NBA, this is the league. Remember, they pulled the All-Star game out of North Carolina because of the transgender bathroom bill. They're like, "Oh, we're so woke." They're the ones that are saying that, you can't refer to team owners as owners anymore because this has echoes of the slave era, or the era when people were enslaved.
So they don't want to call owners owners.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
It's not too long.
This is fairly recently.
Yeah. And then suddenly in the face, the Chinese government, I know it's a big market for us, but China is not a friend of human rights. Chinese human rights abuses are legendary. It's an oppressive authoritarian regime.
Mm-hmm.
And this tweet, "Stand with the people of Hong Kong," Hong Kong is this formerly independent. It's now sort of this, it's got this sort of a two-state kind of solution. They've got their own independence until I think 2047 or something like that.
Right.
And there was, it's a complicated story, but in a sense, these protesters in China are saying, "Hey, look, we want to elect our own leaders freely," and they're pushing back against this stuff. And it's been really pretty ugly. The co-owner of the Brooklyn Nets is Chinese, and he put a thing on Facebook sort of saying, "Well, this is a third rail issue for people in China, that he considers the protesters in Hong Kong to be separatists."
Oh, interesting.
Which they're not. They're not calling. They're not separatists, but this has really put the NBA on the spot, and it also highlights for me and for a lot of other people the fact that Donald Trump, while he's having these tweet tantrums about Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, and Adam Schiff, has not once tweeted any support for the protesters in China. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the reporting from CNN and The Hill and places like that is that Trump has agreed not to say, while trade talks are going on, he's agreed not to say anything in support of the Hong Kong protesters because of
the
trade deal. So you've got this pretty ugly situation brewing, and it's one that is kind of a little hard to understand until you get to something as kind of simple as this tweet fight over a simple expression of support for these protesters has thrown everyone into a tizzy.
We have less than 2 minutes, but I'm curious, if you're this guy representing the Houston Rockets, what do you do differently? If you have some political viewpoint that you want to share through Twitter or some other means, what's his better way to do it to not offend and then have to retract and apologize?
I think, clearly the lesson here is that you just don't express an opinion. But it doesn't, it baffles me and makes me angry that it's considered to be unacceptably controversial to stand with democracy.
Right.
That's what he's doing. These protesters are sharing many of our values against a regime that does not share very many of our values.
But isn't it sad, though, that it all really does come down to money? That it's, if money wasn't part of this, there'd be no apology. He could have done what people like to do now and double down and say, no, I meant what I said. That's why I said it.
Right.
But you can't do that because there's too many dollars at stake.
Way too many dollars at stake. And it's distorting our view of human rights around the world.
Right.
When we say, well, it's China. Yeah, well, they're oppressed people. There's no freedom of speech. They oppress religious minorities. But, boys will be boys. We want their money. And I think at some point it would be really nice if the NBA just sort of, stood up for that and said, hey, we love you, China. We love your fans.
But
we love our game. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
But we're not going to, we're not going to stand back and say nothing while you shoot people in the streets of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Twitter
should be outlawed. Have you heard that? That's I think Wendy said it, actually.
I'm going to protest Wendy for
something. All right. That's fine. Eric, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here, and we'll see you a week from today.
Watch my exit.
Watch. Can't wait to see that.
News coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's Bill. It's Wendy at 720 WGN.